welcome to Dogs Are Smarter Than People, the quick, fast, goofy, self-improvement podcast of awesome with a brand new intro.
I can't believe we have to redo the intro.
We lost our intro because we're not tech savvy here,
Dude, we're cool. We did like that 14 years ago.
I know.
I don't even remember what the podcast is about
at this point. Anyways. Dogs Are Smarter Than People is the podcast that helps you live a happier, quirkier life. I'm Carrie Jones, a New York Times and internationally best-selling novelist, and the guy with me is actually married to me.
For how long, we don't know.
But not much longer.
It's been a good run.
But this is my co-host, Sean Farrar. Join us as we start off with a random thought about the weirdness of life, and then we segue beautifully and smoothly into...
Dog advice? Dog tips?
Life advice. You've got this. You've got it too. Sonny was just telling me about another one of his ideas that somebody already has done.
You sure of that?
I'm not sure.
Are you positive?
I'm not positive. Well,
if you're not positive, then don't say it.
All right, but this podcast, once we get into it, man, it's all about success.
Is it really?
Yeah, because you've got a lot of smarts.
Oh, do I?
But you don't ever hit the...
Hit the what?
Action goals.
Oh.
For those bigger ideas.
Yeah, the big ones take a lot of action, that's why.
Oh my god. I'm gonna snort laugh, man. Alright, so this is not funny, but it's our random thought. You ready?
I'm ready.
This lady in New York.
Yeah.
She was pronounced dead. She's 82 years old. She's in a nursing home. They're like, right. Oh yeah. They don't have her name, but we'll say Agnes. Agnes is dead, man. And so the ambulance comes. They take her out of the nursing home, right? Yeah. And which is in Port Jefferson on Long Island.
Yeah.
Where all my half aunts are from.
Yeah.
And half aunts. They take her, you know, mm-hmm. in the hearse or whatevs, to the O.B. Davis Funeral Home.
Yeah.
Also on Long Island at 1:30 in the afternoon. It's about 2 hours later, right?
Yeah.
Then, you know, they leave her be because she's dead. And then they go back in or something. And they're like, whoa.
Whoa, what?
She's breathing.
What?
Yeah, so at 2:09 p.m., she was breathing.
Wow.
Yeah, they picked her up at 11:15 a.m. And then, you know, 2:09 p.m., there she is, in the morgue, in the funeral home, or whatever, breathing. So they're like, oh, let's take her to the hospital.
Well, that's probably a good thing to do.
What if she's our first zombie? No offense to her, but she'll never hear this, right? That's so zombie-like. I'd be freaking out.
Yeah, but what if they actually made the mistake the second time? What if she was dead?
She wasn't.
And they
really
thought she was breathing, so they took her to the hospital. Because it says no update on her condition was available.
Right, there's no update, man.
That's because they were too embarrassed. They were like, let's bury this whole thing.
And they're like, oh, shoot, she wasn't dead.
No, they're like, oh, she is dead.
Why oh, wait, no, I'm so confused. Is she dead? Is she not dead? But God, you know, man, like...
She's probably pissed. She's probably like, you know what? I was enjoying my dead. I've been around for 82 years. You guys ruined it.
It's so X-Files, you know?
Yeah.
But this one, I have another random thought, which is more enjoyable, I think. Because this little kid, he's six, right? And he's, like, I don't know, hungry. And he, like, basically, one night, right? Like, the mommy goes to the movies and the daddy is alone with the kid, right?
Yeah.
And so while they're alone, the kid's playing a game on his dad's, like, phone, right? Yeah. His cell phone. But he was like, yeah, you can play a game before bed. And so instead of playing a game, he played the Grubhub game.
He played the Grubhub game? The
Grubhub game.
You think it was a food ordering game?
I don't know. I think he was a little savvy. So he basically, according to the Associated Press, ordered one food and then another food and another food. It says, quote, Mason ordered jumbo shrimp salad, shawarma, and chicken pita sandwiches, chili cheese fries, and other foods.
He's got pretty good taste, I guess.
Yeah, man. And then so, the dad's home, and then a Grubhub driver comes. He's like, I didn't order this. Did you order this? And then another Grubhub driver comes. And then another Grubhub driver comes. And then another.
How long did it take him to get the phone away from his kid?
I think he ordered them all pretty quickly. But he's a smart little boy. And and apparently he ordered food from so many places that their Chase bank account sent a fraud alert. And that means that he didn't get to order an extra $439 from Happy Pizza.
Oh, well, that's good.
However, he did get to order $183 of jumbo shrimp from Happy's.
That
must
have been a lot of shrimp.
They're like, he's a very smart boy. He's been reading since he was 2.5. And he's also very hungry.
No joke.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Can you imagine that, dad?
Well, I guess the mom didn't have to cook dinner neither one of the parents had to cook dinner for...
For ages?
Oh, at least a week, probably.
Yeah.
As long as they
can
keep the food good.
So apparently, right before she went to the movies, the dad ordered Grubhub, and had the app open.
Yeah.
So they think, the mom said, quote, her son took the phone, hid in the basement, and proceeded to order his feast. She says she and her husband had a talk with Mason on Sunday morning and told him what he did was akin to stealing. I don't think he grasped that concept at first, she said. So they took his piggy bank money. $115 of it. But he ordered $1,000 worth of food. $1,000, man.
That's amazing.
And then they took his money from the piggy bank. So you know what he does? What
did he do?
Finds a penny on the floor.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'll just start saving.
I'll just start saving all over again.
Yeah. They invited some neighbors over. Some of the food went into their fridge. But Grubhub, I guess, is actually giving them a $1,000 gift card help deal with it.
Wow.
Yeah. Which is very... good promo from Grubhub.
It sure is.
That little kid's going to be in a commercial soon. I bet.
He might be.
Dude, how amazing is that,
though? Ordering from Grubhub is so easy. A 6-year-old can do it.
That's just why my app is not on my phone.
Man.
I don't
have have any kids young enough to make that mistake, but I kind of wish we did.
Oh, no.
Of course, we don't have Grubhub either. So.
No, we're too rural.
I know.
How to be a success, sort of.
Okay.
Did you just belch?
Well, I don't think anybody would notice had you not brought it up.
All right.
It was the tiniest, little, most petite burp ever.
Oh my gosh, I'm such a big boy, too.
I know.
Oh. All right, so a lot of people, they set goals and they set resolutions, and the thing is that not all of us actually complete them.
I never make resolutions because I know I'm going to fail.
There's a positive attitude right there.
Goals are different.
Listen to dogs are smarter than people. Well, we fail harder than you do. So anyways, your burp smells. And
oh,
then,
it says it right there.
And so then the second part is this is especially true about resolutions. Only 9% of people self-report that they actually achieve their resolutions every year. So sometimes... part of the reason that people don't achieve their resolution is because they're afraid of failure. It's such a big fear that they'll try and it'll be for nothing, or they'll try and people will laugh because it sucked.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a good experience, that it keeps them from moving forward. Some people are actually afraid of success, which is also really interesting because success is change. If you succeed in your resolution or if you succeed in your career path or your action plan, your life's going to change, right?
Hopefully.
And some of us are afraid of change. So the thing is that we get stuck, right?
Yeah.
But a lot of the self-help gurus, us, say that...
Are we self-help gurus?
We call it self-development, but...
When are we starting a cult?
Well, we'll go talk to Jared Leto and we'll find out how to do it. We'll find the action steps to starting a successful cult. Anyways, the point is that you have to fail to succeed. Like, and there's a lot of belief out there that if you fail at something, that failure labels you and defines you. Like Kierkegaard, the philosopher, said, "What labels me negates me." And so many people spend their lives putting negative labels on themselves. Like, I'm not an entrepreneur. No one will ever love me. I'm unlovable. I'm destined to be a failure. All those things, right? I want to be an author, but I'll never get published. Like, it's so hard. Like, all those things are these negative stuff that you're wasting your time on thinking versus going after your goals, right?
That's right.
So there's also an opposite viewpoint where it's like, if you want to succeed, you've got to fail first, because like everybody does, like nobody's perfect boom right out of the gate. And the caveat here, of course, is that failure doesn't mean suffering.
Right.
It just means like you weren't necessarily successful your first time. Like most politicians, most on the local level, the state level, and the national level, they'll have to run multiple times before they finally get elected. You know, and that's a big place where everyone can see that you didn't succeed.
That's right.
You know, but so no matter what you think of individual politicians or the category as a whole, you gotta have some ovaries, man, to like even run.
Yeah, you do.
All right, so.
And run again after you lose.
And again, and again. So there's a theory that basically says that, you know, failure just means that you've fallen short of an outcome that you were hoping for.
Right.
So in our society, we have like these metrics to say, hey, you, this is what success is. This is our tag. This is a label. This is how we identify someone who's successful, right? And that's all well and good, but it's kind of, you know, those tags are all about the outcome.
Right.
And they're not about who you actually
are. The process.
Or who you even are. Like, you know, you can be like, oh, I went in this kayak race and I was last because I suck at kayak. Right? But, like, that outcome doesn't define who I am.
No, you still went in the race and, and finished.
And but I'm more than someone who came in last at one kayak race.
Like, for sure.
Yeah. So, like, it's like that, right? So... John Grinder and Judith Delozier used to have this seminar called Prerequisites to Personal Genius, and it's all about neuro-linguistic programming, which, disclaimer, hasn't been really validated by science, but it's kind of like a psychotherapy, and then people started using it for interpersonal communications.
Yeah.
And they started talking about like what society decided were geniuses or like the ultimate successful people, basically. Yeah. And Tony Robbins, this, you know, everybody knows who he is. He has created an entire industry around himself using that work to tell people what he thinks works to get your goals achieved, right?
Yep.
And so basically, very, very simplistically, he thinks that you need to write your goals down, not on the computer, but on a piece of paper. Right?
Yeah.
Or a journal. And because, like, something happens inside your brain when you write it down.
Rather than type it.
Yeah. And then the next step is you want to write why that goal is important. And I think a lot of people skip this step. Like, you want to say, why does it matter if you do this, if you win that kayak race? Or why does it matter if you start a free online newspaper? Or why does it matter, you know, if you become a New York Times bestselling author, right?
Right.
What does it mean? Why does it matter? How is it going to change the life you're living right now? And that needs to be really clear, because it tells you your purpose.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Right?
Sure.
So, yeah. And so he told...
Well, it says the purpose of that specific goal, right?
Yeah, yeah. Right. So, but when you get the purpose of your goals, you kind of start to get the purpose of your humanity and you. And then that starts to make people happier because people tend to be happier when they have a purpose.
Right, right.
There's
right.
like a whole bunch of psychology.
Oh, I believe that 100%.
And science about that. So, yeah. He says to CNBC that the reason most people don't follow through with their goals is because their psychology is messed up. I like how he talks. So how do you change your psychology? I don't mean be positive. I just mean be smart. So like he basically says that no matter how hard it is, you have to follow through.
Yeah.
Like, and he personally, to like make his own willpower work, he does exercise and he has these habits and he thinks that those, for him, focus his thankfulness and his also his focus. And he says, frame your goals with absolute certainty that no matter what, you'll find a way to make it happen. Even if it seems impossible to you now, you know in your core that you can pull it off. And then the next step is just doing it, like repeating it over and over and over and over and over and over again, like this podcast. Like practice makes achievement, right?
Yeah. So
you break your goals into smaller tasks and success starts happening, especially if those tasks are repetitive, right?
Yeah.
And I can see that in my own life, right? Like I can see like, oh, you know, you write every day, you think about writing. You try to become a better writer by studying something. You talk to other people about writing. And every day, you become a better writer. And because you don't give up, you keep enhancing your skills. And eventually, like, I got published.
Right.
It didn't take me that long, actually. But I worked really hard for that year. On it, I was very focused. But, like, even you, like, when you were a cop, right? Like, the more OUIs you respond to, the better you get at right. seeing an OUI and handling that case and handling the people who are drunk.
Right.
Or the more reports you write up, like the better you become at report writing.
Sometimes.
But like, but that's the point, right? Like yeah. you wanna, and it's not even just that. It's like you don't wanna forget your goals. You wanna actively move towards those goals every single day.
Right. Like, that makes sense.
You know, you want to have a designated time where you're like, this is my goal. This is my time for my goal. Just like running, which is the ultimate example. Like most of us can't get off the couch and go run a 10K. That's the couch to 10K program. But if we work on it every day as our goal, we eventually get it.
Most of us can do it.
Yeah. Until you get hurt over and over again. Me. So we're up high. We had mileage.
Yeah, we were.
Okay. So also according to Robbins, like a really important part is he uses the phrase to find absolute certainty, which is like, you know, it's okay to have a goal that you can't get yet and just to believe that you're gonna get it. Is what he's saying. Like yeah. you wanna aspire to big things that are outside of your comfort zone, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you want to have this feeling inside of you that no matter what, it's going to happen.
Yep.
Yeah. That's how I felt about
living here, baby. I mean, a lot of successful people that preach that.
Do they? But,
yeah.
I don't know. You know more about this than I do, I think.
No, I don't think so. But they do. You just, that belief that, that faith of what I want's gonna happen.
Yeah.
It might take me a while and a lot of failures, but it's gonna happen.
Yeah. So like he says that you should quote, frame your goals with absolute certainty, and that it's crucial if you're gonna accomplish that goal. Which I think is really interesting. And he says that a lot of people give up ahead of time, and a lot of other people say this too, because they only think about that end goal. And they're like, I don't know how I'm going to get there.
Right.
That seems impossible. I could never become a marathon runner. I could never become a New York Times bestselling author. I could never become a cop for right. some people, right? Like, I could never become not in debt.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and so when they hit those little bumps in the road, those failures that we're all going to have, like the rejections if you're an author, the you didn't pass the run at the Criminal Justice Academy, right. You know, all that kind of stuff. You were getting out of debt, but then, oh no, you broke your leg. Like, right. All that stuff, like, it makes you give up instead of keeping
going. Because it's easier.
I don't know if it's easier, but it's easy to get... Well, they think
it is easier to quit.
Yeah.
And to keep failing.
Yeah, I don't know, man. What do you think?
I think that it's, realistically, that that's what happens to a majority of people, probably. Especially with resolutions, that's just such a harsh word.
Yeah.
That opens you up to...
But if you think about...
Failure easier, I think, than goals, than having a goal.
Yeah.
Because having a goal, you can actually almost legitimize a failure and be like, oh, I failed, but I'm just going to try again.
Yeah, whereas if you're
a resolution, you're like, oh, I didn't do it. I'm going like, back to the bottle.
Yeah, if it's like, hey, I'm going to run every day, and then you don't run one day because it was negative 40 outside. You're like, oh, all done.
That's right.
Yeah, that makes sense. But I think that the absolute certainty and the repetition aspects really go in with each other, because like if you're forgetful, you can't forget that you have a goal,
right?
Like, and if you don't schedule the time and the dedicated thought to that goal every day or every week or whatever it is, every other day, then that goal, especially if you don't make it, like, is so much easier to give up on.
Definitely.
I think definitely, you know, like,
yeah,
it's really interesting.
I think you probably got to wake up and remind yourself of your goal. Especially when you're struggling. Like every first thing in the, you know, every time, every day. Every day.
Every day I say, what is my purpose?
Yeah.
Did you know that?
I believe it. When you're slogging down the stairs at 5:30.
Yeah, I'm like,
heading for the computer.
It's pitch black outside. It's 5 a.m. and nobody else is up except me and the dogs.
Well,
what is my purpose?
It'll get daylight sooner.
What is my purpose?
I may not get out of bed sooner, but it'll get daylight sooner. Dog tip for life.
I just shared our dog tip for life with Shawnee, and he didn't like it.
No, I didn't say that.
You made a face, too.
So?
You made a scrunched up, forehead down, eyebrows pulled together, squinty face.
How do you do that?
Like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Anyways.
I've never been one to stand in front of the mirror and practice making faces.
You've never been an actor or a model.
Nope.
So, Sparty said that, or his dog tip, which Sean does not approve of, is that you're basically don't want anyone to call you anything you don't want to be called yourself. And that just goes back to the labels.
Like, I like the tip. It's a great tip.
You don't want to be let anyone else call you a failure or laugh at your ideas. You know, like, that's not their place. F them. That's what he said. They just, Sparty's not a big growler, but, you know, he turns around and he thumps on the floor and he ignores you if you call him something.
Oh, he huffs a lot.
Yeah, and you got to channel your inner Sparty.
You know when he's not happy.
Yeah, and you can't let those naysayers ruin your goal. We have a friend who, every time we have an idea, he thinks it's dumb.
Yeah.
Every single time.
Because it's not his.
Yeah, maybe.
Or it's not something he has any interest in.
Yeah.
Which isn't really that much, but...
He's interested in everything. But, you know, you can't let those people ruin your happy.
That's right.
Yeah, go after your goals. Just keep
trying for your goal.
You got it.
Keep visiting your master every time you can until they learn to give you a treat upon every visit.
He does do that too.
Sparty has succeeded at his goals, I think. He's got you trained well, man. Alright, baby, give us a shout out.
Hey, the music we've clipped and shortened in this podcast is awesome and is made available through the Creative Commons license. Who's that artist and what's that song?
I don't know, man.
You do, do you know?
I do. We've been saying it. It's Summer Spleef. If I broke for free.
And we have extra content all about living happy on the livinghappy.substack.com blog, and it's pretty awesome. And we also have a writing tips podcast called Write Better Now.
They're both awesome.
But our brand new
amazing creepy podcast is Dude No. It's like that. You gotta say it like that.
He does say it like that. It's true crime with an occasional foray into the paranormal and the macabre, and it's awesome. And finally, we have a podcast.
Loving the Strange.
Which we stream live.
On Carrie's Facebook and Twitter and YouTube on Fridays, but every other Friday.
Every other Friday now, because we're lazy.
So be sure to check her Facebook and Twitter for the dates when we are going to be podcasting live and making fools of ourselves.
Live.
We're going to do a Hot Wings challenge real soon.
Oh, dear God.
And that's always a good one.
Anyways, all my Twitter handles and Facebook handles and blah, blah, blah. It's either Carrie Jones Books or Carrie Jones Book. Carrie with a C-A-R-R-I-E. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Yeah, thank you so much. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share.
And be kind. Be kind to us old people.
Oh, yeah, we can't take much more.